Today, Sun Belt Conference, and we take a look at Appalachian State. Brett Strelo, who covers Appalachian State for the Winston-Salem Journal, he joins us now. Brett, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
All right, so last year, this squad was 10-3, 7-1 in the Sun Belt. They had that game that I think a lot of people saw. It was one of their losses against Tennessee. They lost it in overtime, but played well. 20-13 was the final score. This is just their fourth year in the Sun Belt Conference, and they've been a pretty dominant team since they've arrived at the FBS level. Has the transition been about as easy as it looked?
Yeah, I think, you know, before them, Georgia Southern kind of made a similar transition and just going to the Sun Belt. You know, I think they started off 1-5 in their first FBS year, but since then, it's something like 27-5 over the last 32 games. So a little bit of stub their toe to get going, but have it really rolling now. And, you know, the next step, I think, for them is, you know, almost 10 years since that memorable Michigan upset is, you know, not just playing some of those SEC or Power 5 teams close, but actually getting a win in that situation. So maybe, you know, couple that with a conference championship that would make them, you know, dangerous for that New Year's Six.
Now, speaking of that big breakthrough win against an FBS or I guess a Power 5 team, how would the season have been different if that first game of the year against Tennessee would have been a win for Appalachian State?
Yeah, it's tough to kind of fear because they controlled that game from basically, I would say, start to finish. They never trailed in regulation, and you know, Tennessee ties it in part because App State missed the PAT, and then Tennessee's touchdown in overtime actually fumbled the ball in the end zone. But you know, from there, bounced back with a pretty dominant win against Old Dominion, which ended up being a lot better than everybody thought. And you know, they still did have the 45-10 drubbing at home against Miami, where you know, I think a lot of people thought that'd be real dangerous. But I think playing in Boone in front of a record crowd, I think maybe App was a little too hyped up. And so, you know, maybe that changes their chance to maybe threaten a Western Michigan. But they did lose at Troy, where they ended up sharing the Sun Belt Conference title with Arkansas State because of that loss at Troy. So it was kind of, before they were able to kind of close in strong fashion, it was going to be a lot of seasons of what if. They didn't play a ton of close games and kind of lost some of those that were really competitive because most of their wins in Sun Belt play were pretty lopsided.
Well, you guys actually got a really good record against the group of five guys. You're 22 in the last two seasons. What's that really say about your guys' head coach, Scott Satterfield?
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely someone that has been mentioned for, you know, he was mentioned for the Cincinnati job before they hired the Ohio State assistant. And I think you know, his name will continue to be, you know, one of those, maybe even along with Neil Brown at Troy that pops up. And, you know, he did sign a contract extension, which it only added one extra year. He was already signed through 2020 and now through 2021. So whether that's enough to keep him, they have a little bit more of a competitive financial kind of package for him. But he's definitely going to be a guy as long as they keep rolling that, you know, even locally, maybe if some Power 5 teams in the ACC, if they ever change a coach, I think they'd look his way as one of those options. So,
talking Sun Belt Conference, Appalachian State, Mountaineers, Brett Strelo of the Winston-Salem Journal as we profile the teams that are the favorites in the group of five leagues. Now, Appalachian State were a run-heavy offense last year. I believe it was upwards of near 60% of a run-pass ratio. So in a pass-happy college football, how has this run-heavy offense worked in the Sun Belt?
Yeah, it's kind of a little bit of old school, and you know, playing up in the mountains where it's a little bit colder, windier weather. They do have a tradition of, you know, kind of trying to pound the ball on offense and play good defense. And, you know, aside from that Miami game, you know, they were right up there among the national leaders and, you know, limiting teams. They move the ball on but don't score a lot. So that's kind of their MO a little bit. You know, it's a little bit of a spread option attack where they take their shots down the field to keep you honest. But you know, last year they had Marcus Cox and Jalen Moore. Marcus Cox was a senior who leads as the school's all-time leading rusher. But the actual Sun Belt Offensive Player of the Year was Jalen Moore, who will be back for his junior year. So with him back and then Terrence Upshaw, who was academically ineligible last season, they still should have a pretty good 1-2 punch. And I think that'll still be their ID. They have a four-year starter quarterback in Taylor Lamb, who, you know, not particularly flashy, but kind of gets the job done. But I think still they'll probably, you know, rely mostly on trying to move the ball on the ground.
You talked about how big an opportunity Tennessee could have been. You got a huge opportunity next year opening up again at the Hedges at Georgia. How big an opportunity is that for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if somehow they can pull out a win there, I mean, trying to figure out, you know, what Georgia is. I think Georgia, you know, started slow, but finished a lot stronger under Kirby Smart, and I think people think they're probably a top 15, top 20 level team. So I think winning there, especially, you know, getting people's attention the way they played at Tennessee will be tougher. But I am curious to see. I mean, they also have Wake Forest coming to Boone, where, you know, App might be favored in that game. If if they can do that and they have a really friendly conference schedule, if they can get to the end of the year with either one loss, and that one loss is in the hedges, and they have another victory against a Power 5 team, you know, you guys probably know the bath better than me. Is that enough to really threaten for that spot, even if you aren't undefeated or, you know, but so.
It seems like, you know, that's been the recipe, if you will. You take care of your conference and you win it, which, of course, you have to be the conference winner, and you have a Power 5 win on your resume. You can even afford to have a loss if the other group of five champions don't have as strong of a resume. And you remember Boise State doing it a couple of years ago. That was a team that at one point was 3-2 and ended up winning out from there. And at the end of the year, it was clearly the best of the group of five. Now, with that in mind, as we're joined by Brett Strelow of the Winston-Salem Journal talking Appalachian State and the Sun Belt, Boise State has Troy on the schedule. I don't see Troy on the schedule for Appalachian State this year. So when we're talking Sun Belt contention, Troy is going to be near the top. What does Troy have, and how does that compare to Appalachian State?
Yeah, I think most people kind of think, you know, the three best programs last year were Arkansas State, App, and Troy, and they all kind of trade a little bit of, you know, Troy beat App, but then Troy lost to Arkansas State, and kind of Arkansas State got upset by a different team. So if App can go through unblemished, I think the one problem is strength of schedule, because they don't play Troy or Arkansas State. They don't even play South Alabama, which is another bowl team that kind of slipped in, you know, had some good non-conference wins, but actually struggled in the Sun Belt. So, you know, I think Troy, I mean, they've got LSU on the schedule, and they do have to play Arkansas State to close the regular season. So, you know, that might be the biggest challenge for Troy, but I think a lot of people think just with the schedule the way it lays out for App State, avoiding some of those other heavyweights in the league, that, you know, they're, anything less than an undefeated season in the league would probably be a disappointment for those guys in Boone.
Trying to take advantage of a favorable schedule. Brett Strelow of the Winston-Salem Journal on Appalachian State, we appreciate the time, and we're looking forward to seeing what the Mountaineers can do in the Sun Belt.
All right, thanks for having me on.
Again, that's Brett Strelow of the Winston-Salem Journal.